This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
We begin hour number two. It is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross here, downtown Las Vegas at Circus Sports. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. A great hour number one already in the books. Thanks to Zaid Hussein and Thomas Gable for joining us here in hour number one. Hour number three, Lou Finicaro is going to join us from Arizona. Get Lou's thoughts on UFC 317. What a card. We can't talk enough about it. I'm just so fired up for this card this weekend. Colby Marcio to get into his picks. And if you don't follow Colby yet on X, he's really entertaining people. That's the good use of X. So I hope you're out there. You follow, give Colby a follow there when his baseball tickets cash. Very, very entertaining. Let's get to it. Hour number two, highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
Fountains have been turned off in Kansas City. Oh, my goodness. What's happened to the Royals' offense? You and I were all over it at the end of the show yesterday. Said, how is this total 10 against the Rays? If it's going to get there, Tampa's going to have to score 9. We were kidding. They would have had to score 10 because Kansas City didn't score again. Shut out for the second straight day. They've scored 4 runs in the last 5 games at home. All losses. Jensen, how do we turn the spigots back on in Kansas City?
I mean, they've been off. To be fair, Dave, they've objectively been the worst offense in Major League Baseball for most of the year. And that's kind of saying something, you know. And again, just by the numbers alone, just so people are like, well, what are you talking about? They're 20th in average. Okay. 12th in stolen bases. Fine. You're 26th in on base, 27th in OPS, 30th in runs, 29th in homers. I mean, this for a team that went to the postseason last year and gave the Yankees all they could handle in that division series. You felt that if there was any team on the rise and it was ready to take the next step, it was Kansas City. Now, all that being said, and for people just joining us, I said, this will be the gift that keeps on giving. You are looking at an American League postseason picture that right now, Dave, from the Tampa Bay Rays, who are also just a game behind the Yankees in the American League East, they are 4.5 clear of the field here for the top wild card spot. So Tampa, Toronto, and Seattle, if the playoffs start today, those are your 3 wild cards. You go to Kansas City, they're 3.5 games back. So you have at least 6 teams within 3.5 games of the final wild card spot. And that should give you as much hope as any, if you're any of the teams, for people watching VSiN.com, VSiN Watch app. You have so many teams that are right in this thing and will probably be both buyers and sellers at the deadline. And Dave, that is the overall thing to think about here, handicapping this race, is if you want to get in on teams to make the playoffs, you can probably spread amongst 2, maybe 3 that are on the outside looking in right now, and you've got a great shot to hit at least one of them. So I think that's the way to look at it right now, to kind of answer the Royal question and then the overall American League postseason picture as a whole. So strap in, man. We got an exciting couple of weeks to the Midsummer Classic, and then it is going to be a sprint to the finish for the second half overall.
Okay, you and I love a good sports movie in general, but baseball specific here. I remember in Bull Durham, Kevin Costner, they needed a day off, so they manufactured a rainout. Could we make the fountains in Kansas City flood the field so they get? Do they just need a day off, like, to decompress, Jensen? Is that what is it going to take? A Bull Durham moment to kickstart this Kansas City offense?
Yeah, no rest for the weary, right? They got the Dodgers coming in, then they have to go. They got to go to Seattle, then they got to go to Arizona. Ugh. So really, the quote unquote respite for them is ironically when they come back home, they get the Pittsburgh Pirates to start that homestand, and then they get your New York Mets before the All-Star break. So, I said this yesterday, it never fails that when you're not swinging it, you're probably going to end up facing, you know, aces or guys that are really going well from a starting pitching standpoint. And you know, they just happen to be up against now the best team in the National League.
I got a glass half full and a glass half empty scenario here for the Metropolitans. The full part is they're back in first place. That's the good news. They shut out the Braves 4-0 yesterday. They take the last 2 games after losing the first 2. So that's the wonderful news if you're a Met fan. Now, glass half empty. Griffin Canning, if you saw it, it didn't look good. It was just a routine ground ball and he's coming off the bump. You guys have done this a million times. And all of a sudden, his leg gives way. And, you know, Jensen, I don't even look at doctors anymore or, you know, what everybody on X is going to say. I just look at the athlete. And we've watched so much sports through the decades that the athlete tells you how injured they are. And Griffin Canning, the hands up on the face and elevating the leg, it looked like an Achilles. We don't know if it is. Met said it's an ankle. It's a leg injury. Of course it is. But it didn't look good. Let's put it that way. So I wonder if they've lost Griffin Canning potentially for the year. You know, you'd rather lose the game and have your starter going forward. But the inverse is true from what happened last night in that clubhouse. You know, I know it's next man up mentality, but that starting pitching that was such a boon at the beginning of the year, Jensen, it looks like now that that's getting eroded a little bit with injuries.
It is, and that's why also you look at potential acquisitions for – and the Mets were going to buy at the deadline anyway.
Yep.
It was more of, you know, what do we feel like in 4 to 5 weeks? What does our overall health from a starting pitching standpoint look like? And remember, Dave, this was something I told you at the beginning of the year when people were handicapping the Mets overall, you know, to win the division, to win the World Series. You are looking at Kodai Senga, who hadn't been healthy for a full year. You're trying to make sure that he can get through there. Clay Holmes transitioning from a reliever to a starter. What would the innings threshold be that they are comfortable with? And it's not just the regular season. If you go where you think you can go, it's how many more innings can you rely upon him in October? You have the injuries to Manaea, the injuries to Frankie Montas. Montas is back now. Paul Blackburn back from injury. David Peterson, who was phenomenal in the postseason for them last year, has been arguably their best starter overall this season. So not only that, but you got to answer some questions in the back end of the bullpen too. Now they have been relatively good.
Yep.
And you may not have too many things to do there, but if you get Pete Alonso going and you've got, you know, maybe one other guy behind those big four in Lindor, Nimmo, Soto, and Alonso, the New York Yankees just showed you last year, you can do it with probably three big offensive weapons. Remember, it was Judge and Soto, and then Giancarlo Stanton ends up becoming Bruce Wayne in October. It is doable. It's doable. But you are now in the problem area of being in the National League where you have to go up against potentially a Dodgers team, a Phillies team, maybe the Braves, you know, come back from the dead here. The Padres are going to be in this conversation. The Giants are in this conversation. All of a sudden, the Cubs are good. There's a lot more resistance to go through in the National League than potentially there is in the American League. And that's where the Mets are going to have to really make a concerted effort to not only get the depth options, but the impact options, both in their rotation and in their bullpen.
You could have had the Mets last week when the Phillies were still the Phillies. You could have had the Mets about a plus $1.40, $1.45. Now they're minus $1.20 in this marketplace. Phillies are now plus money at plus $1.05. They can't hit either, at least right now. I guess my question is, if you wanted to play the Mets to win the division right now with this half-game lead at minus $1.20, we're being speculative, but I agree with the speculation that Uncle Steve, as I like to call him, Steve Cohen, is going to bring in the reinforcements. Knowing that he's got an open checkbook, Jensen, is that enough that that could be a play? I'm not going to play it at $1.20 just with my fandom there, but is that a fair number, knowing that even with the Griffin Canning injury, even with the Kodai Senga injury, getting Blackburn back, getting Montas back, Manaea, we don't know about his availability, that they will add, and therefore it's a bet you can make with we don't know what it looks like, but we know something is coming.
Yes. And I would also say that if and I think the division is still fine. And I don't think you can go wrong either way here, Dave, because they have as good a chance as any team to get a top two seed. So if you think that's the case, you forego the wild card round and you only have to win a division series to get into an NLCS again. And so I would think it'd be more advantageous to take the plus +450 right now in the National League to win the pennant. You can also get plus money here. If you think that they do get a top two seed and only have to win a division series, you can get the Mets right now plus $1.80 to reach the NLCS. So another way to kind of pivot.
Oh, I like that.
You know, if you're not as comfortable with the division price, you know, or having to lay some money, you can get almost 2-1 for them just to reach the NLCS. They don't have to win the pennant. But I would advocate if you're looking for more of a monetization opportunity, those are the avenues that I would travel much more than just the division.
That is a fantastic way to make a better bet. I'm with you, because even if they don't win the division, you're still open via wild card here to at least get back to where they were a year ago. I like that line of thinking a lot. Check out our friends over at sharpplays.com. So you're going to be, when you use Sharp Plays, you're going to get unmatched transparency, records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting information, alerts directly from the pros. They are not some startup here, people. They've been around Sharp Plays since 2011. They got receipts, public logs, and results right there on the website. So sharpplays.com, trusted by the pros, watched by the books. So check them out now at sharpplays.com. And Jensen, when you have that from a pitching staff, like we're talking about with the Mets, is it a bunker mentality inside that clubhouse? Or it's like, man, we just can't stay ahead. You don't go, woe is me. But when you get one after another, and they're all to the pitching staff, what's that like for the guys looking around going, boy, I hope I'm not next?
It happens, man. And yeah, you do feel snake bitten to a certain extent, but you also look up at the standings and say, we're still pretty good, guys. We're 14 games, we're 500, we're in first place. We're still in a really advantageous position here. So they're gonna be active. How active they are in the frontline starting pitching market remains to be seen. Back end of the bullpen is usually much more affordable. So, hey, a lot can change here in a couple of weeks. Anxious to see what happens.
And Griffin Canning, it's not just us as Met fans. We're thinking of you as a person, too. Hope you're going to be okay. Did not look good, though, that injury, certainly yesterday. When we come back, let's get to the NFL. Who's going to be pulling the snaps out of center in week number one? That's next here, VSiN by the Books.
By the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross here, Jensen Lewis as well. We're going to get to the Daily Diamond in the very next segment. So, Jensen, you've been on fire. We're going to keep that rolling as well. But we do have some interesting numbers here as we get closer and closer to football season. Love the conversation with Thomas Gable breaking down the NFC West. Let's look at the South here very quickly as to who is going to take snap number one under center. Now, Tyler Shuck, 40th overall, second-round pick. You got a late 3-10 that's going to be Tyler. Now, Spencer Rattler, Jake Haener, guys that have been there, done that from a year ago, year two guys. Haener is 40-1. Rattler is plus 210. Jensen, I would look to Rattler at plus money, but the problem for me getting home with that bet is it's a new head coach in Kellen Moore who did not draft Rattler or Haener. So, you know, when it's the new regime, it's almost like it's their new toy. Is that why you think Shuck is the overwhelming favorite here at 310?
I assume you don't take him at number 40 overall with a new head coach and not have at least that be your guy out of the chute and then be like, okay, maybe it wasn't right. I'd never want to lay 310 in anything like this, but that's the play. And just for that reason that you just spoke of is, all right, it's new head coach. This is his system. This is the guy he identified that could potentially lead them from day one. I appreciate the politically correct way of saying, yeah, it's an open competition. No, it's not. barring injury to Tyler Shuck, he's taking the snaps, and that's going to be the guy in week one. So I guess the better question would be is, you know, if you have Shuck at that point, how much confidence do you have in the Saints in these early, you know, week one and week two matchups? Are you comfortable backing a rookie as potential underdogs here and sizable ones at that? I think that you and I are in that same survivor boat of like, this is the scariest time to look at it.
Absolutely.
But, plus 5.5 point dog, Tyler Shuck at home in the dome against Kyler Murray and company. It's that trepidation number, Dave, that we've talked about a lot here.
I'm Googling how old is Tyler Shuck? Cause isn't he like 26? So, you know, like, yeah, 26
he's
years
a man.
Old, right? So he's 25.
He's a man.
25. He's going to be 26 here in September. So we're getting ready to turn the page to 26 here at the beginning of the year in the first month of the season. And the point there is when you get, and I know it's not all older college kids translate, you know, like the Chris Winkies of the world from yesteryear going into the NFL right away. I think we think, all right, age, he should be able to handle it a little bit better. But he has been around some pretty good systems too, right? So like in Oregon, he was back up there. So he's played some big-time football at Tyler Shuck. Week one is nervy in Survivor. Because I go back to, I know Robert Griffin III is different than Tyler Shuck. He was a Heisman Trophy winner. He was the second pick overall when he came out. They went down to New Orleans, who had won the Super Bowl the previous year, and they just shocking all those guys, right? And it was, you know, it was Griffining and the whole bit, and they put up a 40 spot, and they went easily. I can't see that happening with this offense in Kellen Moore, but wouldn't you be nervy week one laying the points with Arizona on the road against New Orleans?
Yes. And even on a parlay piece, like it right now, you know, Cardinals are -230 on the money line right there. If you had to parlay right now off the top of your head, any other team right now, week one, I said a lot of people are going to be Commanders, Survivor players, knowing you're hosting the Giants, and you and I have tried to preach to people. Ooh. Week one, division matchup, want no part of that. I think the only way to go about it, and I would hate to do this too, but there's no reason to tease the Saints one way or another. You can't do it with the Cardinals right now because it's at 5.5. But if you had to moneyline parlay the Cardinals with another team right now, I mean, and you hate to do this to you, buddy, but I think the only other viable one would be the Eagles.
Oh,
if you
no.
wanted to do it that way.
Blasphemy.
But I totally understand, but that's the idea here of how scary week one is.
Yeah.
Because we don't know anything, and that's what you have to always keep in the back of your mind.
Yeah, I agree. I get the point that it's like it feels like the only other way to go. Maybe I'd look for a parlay piece if you wanted to do that. I'd look at Denver. They're laying 7.5
okay,
against
yeah.
Tennessee, right? That might
Fair.
Be the only other way to go week one. But again, the problem there is the same thing we're talking about with New Orleans. Is that you're going to get the number one pick in the draft in Tennessee against a really good defense. We get it in Denver, at least from a year ago. That shock and awe of not knowing, you're still betting against an unknown. So if you're betting against the Saints and you're betting against the Titans, thinking these are last year's teams, remember, different guys, and in New Orleans, a different head coach. So I'd be very leery about those plays. Indianapolis, it's the same head coach, but it looks like it potentially could be a different starting quarterback. Daniel Jones is now the small betting favorite to take week one snaps. That's because of the injury to Anthony Richardson. It looks like AR is going to be back for camp to fight for that job. Jensen, I know you kind of said it in air quotes, if you will. There's a quarterback competition in New Orleans. Maybe there really isn't. This one, it feels like it's legit, right? Like this, if you're Shane Steichen, are you really trying to play the best guy, or are you trying to play the high draft pick?
True. Okay, so with the number here and Richardson, the slight favorite over Daniel Jones, the Colts right now in week one are -$1.20 against the Dolphins. So it's sandwiched right in between those two numbers. I'm going to give you this option. Which one would you make a bet on right now? Richardson to take the first snap, Jones to take the first snap, or regardless of who takes the first snap, the Colts to win week one against the Dolphins?
I would rather lay the point out of those three options you gave me, Jensen. I would lay the point and a half with the Colts at $1.08 and save a couple cents here potentially, or I might have to give up a couple cents if it's Daniel Jones. I would like the bet better if it was Daniel Jones, ironically.
Okay.
Not that I've seen enough from AR to say he's a bust or it's not going to work out. But it does feel like damaged goods with the shoulder. And if we're going in with another injury, like, he's got to throw his body around. In order for him to be successful, that's kind of the way he has to play. And that has not worked out so far in his young career, year three already. You blink, it's year three. To me, Daniel Jones, at least you would think getting out of New York, right? Sitting there in Minnesota for a little bit. I think he's itching to get back in there to prove that this was, again, a top 10 pick back in the day with the Giants as well, to prove his worth again. I'd feel better about that bet, laying the point and a half, if it was Daniel Jones, ironically, than Anthony Richardson.
I think that's fair. And with Shane Steichen also going to be in a spot here where you look at the Colts' schedule overall, I mean, you want to get out of the chute quickly, because then a pretty stiff test against the Broncos, even though you host them, and then those next two games. And I realize this division game, Cam Ward, though, a couple of weeks under his belt, perhaps looks a little bit better. The Rams on the road, yikes. And then potentially a tough match. I almost feel like it's an automatic under here with the Raiders and the Colts right now. But I think Shane Steichen is also thinking of what his job security is. And not that, you know, that is in the forefront of his mind at the moment. But I think there is a sense of urgency to get out quickly and show that he has command of the organization. Of course, that begins with the man under center.
Yeah, you're 1,000% correct that he would never admit that. It's absolutely on his mind, Shane Steichen, that if they don't get the quarterback right, they might not get the season right, and they might not have another season to fix it. Chris Ballard, as well as the GM. Let's look at the G-Man there in New York. And this is always that sleeping giant to me. Not, I know, pun intended. But I always worry about the Giants and, like, you know, what they do defensively and if they can figure it out. I still do trust Brian Daboll. I know his job might be on the line as well, including the GM. Russell Wilson, you got to lay 1,400 here to win 100, that he's going to take the snap week one. I think we all understand that. Is this a barring injury scenario? And if it wasn't Wilson, would you rather bet Dart at plus 1060 or Famous Jameis at 13-1?
Yeah, I'd probably take Jameis, just knowing it's the team you're going up against in week one, right? I mean, do you want Jackson Dart right in the fire? On the road, so much anticipation for the Commanders following up what they just did a year ago. So, no, I would rather have the Jameis 13-1 if there's an injury to Russ Bus. But I don't think it's going to be too quick of, or I don't think it's going to be too long of a leash, knowing where Brian Daboll's potential job is and knowing that Jackson Dart was taken for the sole reason of being the future of the franchise. I think it's a quicker hook than many people realize.
I know people, for whatever reason, Russell Wilson rubs a lot of people the wrong way. Let's ride. A lot of the stuff they think's a little bit hokey that he does. He took the Steelers. They went to D.C. last year and beat the Commanders in D.C. So week one, everybody that's going to be hopping on the Commanders, remember, Russell went there last year and won. Sometimes, as Shirley Bassett once sang, it's just another case of history repeating. If you're serious about winning in the NFL this year, we got you covered. We're really excited about it. The betting guide is coming out on Tuesday. $175 right now will cover you all the way through the Super Bowl in February. So again, previewing all 32 teams, all of our best bets, Jensen and I included, our hosts here, player props, projections, Super Bowl winners. It's there for you now. VSiN.com/subscribe. The Daily Diamond is next.
VSiN by the books, right here on VSiN.
We are back. VSiN by the books. Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis here. Quick update of the Rocket Classic. Aldridge Potgieter is the outright leader right now. He is 1 under par through his round, 6 holes in. He's at 11 under par. Kevin Roy, who was also tied for the course record yesterday, even par through 7 at 10 under. Chris Kirk has joined the fight with Max Grazerman, as we talked about here. Both those guys at 10 under par. Grazerman is now the betting favorite to win the Rocket Classic. How about that? How quickly things change here, an hour and a half in, at plus 450. Minwoo Lee, who is not teed off yet. Great round for Minwoo yesterday. He's 9-1. But how about that, Jensen? Look at that demarcation already. Grazerman plus 450, Minwoo Lee 9-1. That's a pretty big gap right there. Grazerman, good call earlier in the program. Let's get to it. Today's edition of the Daily Diamond. What's that song where Metallica says there's a freight train coming your way? I wonder if that's coming for the O's today.
The Rays have been a wagon. There's no getting around it right now. And just by the numbers, again, we get to this point in the season, Dave, we have some pretty good data to be able to jump into. So our headline is Baltimore, oh no, because it has not been good for the fans in Charm City. Orioles, Dave, 12-26 covering the run line in Camden Yards this year. Worst mark in Major League Baseball. Conversely, the Rays 22-9 covering the run line as an away team. That is the best mark in Major League Baseball. The leans are pretty easy today. The Rays on the run line, -1.5, is +$1.24. Mm. And I believe I am correct here. It's Ryan Pepiot against Tomoyuki Sugano.
Yep.
So that's a +$1.24. The Orioles team total. Under 3.5 is +$1.20, but the way Pepiot's been going, buddy, let's not get in his way whatsoever. So those are the leans for this one at Camden Yards. Just a year ago, my friend, looking at Baltimore as potentially that team that could take another step, just like Kansas City. Those two teams ironically matching up those two teams. I think a lot of people had circled going into the offseason. It's like, okay, those are the ones you want to jump on. Kansas City, Baltimore, eesh, been a tough year so far.
Before this freight train really got rolling, you right here in this program, what was the number you gave out for Tampa Bay to have the best record in the American League? Was it 250-1?
Yeah, 250-1, I think, is ringing a bell. Yeah.
Okay. I'm just saying, because all of a sudden, when you look up now, they've got 46 wins. So they're a half game out of first place behind the Yankees. So right now, the only teams with better records than that 250-1 number you gave out weeks ago is Detroit. Looks great, 51-31, and Houston. I'm not saying Houston's not going to last, but this is not smoke and mirrors for Tampa Bay, right?
Like, right.
This is now legit. You've got enough of a sample size here halfway through the year to go, they've got some staying power.
Yeah, and they're only going to get better, too. The hope is that Shane McClanahan can be available for them sometime in the second half of the season.
Oh, wow.
That is going to feel like a blockbuster trade of sorts to get your ace back and hopefully healthy to contribute down the stretch. But this is a team also, Dave, the last couple of years, they have been very proactive earlier, weeks earlier at times than the actual trade deadline to acquire those assets to help them at a much more reduced cost. So I would be on the lookout for them, just knowing, what are you, a half game back now, the Yankees, game back +330 to win. I'm still advocating, if you are looking at the American League, go for the American League pennant odds.
9-1.
It is a much better way to monetize than where some of the prices are in the Yankees and the Tigers right now.
Boy, how good is that 250-1? I mean, just, you don't get actionable 250-1 numbers very often. A very astute observation a couple weeks ago there. Let's talk about maybe some teams we're expecting better from, and maybe that begins today deep in the heart of Texas.
Yeah, a great pitching matchup here tonight between two teams, one in the Mariners that have had a really great season thus far, one in the Rangers, which we've identified as like, God, they got to get going at some point. And if they do, they'll be a force to be reckoned with. Nathan Eovaldi is going to come back off the IL after some tricep inflammation issues. He will oppose Logan Gilbert. The Rangers at home, 29-10 to the under. That is the best mark in Major League Baseball. Logan Gilbert has really enjoyed playing and pitching at Globe Life Field, a 2.83 career ERA in six games started. We're going to take the first five under at even money. 3.5 is the number here. And then I already have locked this in for VSiN Pro subscribers. You got this earlier today. The Mariners and the Rangers full game under 7.5. Right now at DraftKings, you can find that juice to $1.16. I think I got it at $1.15, so it has moved just slightly. But two great pitchers, a lot of swing and miss capability, and an offense here in Texas that, for whatever reason, Dave, just cannot put it together here in 2025.
Or two teams in this division that are now really looking up at the Stros. Seattle's still in second place, but they're 6.5 games back. Rangers right now are actually behind the Angels, if you can believe that. They're 8 games back. If I gave you the option of either one of these two teams at these price points, knowing that they're 6.5 and 8 games back, Mariners at +425 or Rangers at 11-1, would you rather play the longer play at 8 games back or the shorter number at +425?
This is for the division, right?
Yep.
To win the West.
If we think that Houston's got to come back a little bit. Because they're playing a great clip right now.
I would really want to play Texas, just knowing that once they do put it together. I mean, DeGrom looks
right?
Ridiculously good right now. I know Eovaldi's been hurt coming back. You hope that he's going to be fine. I'll go with the Mariners. I'll be more conservative. I'll go with them. Just it feels like you got an MVP candidate. You feel like coming in every day that you've got a chance to win. I would rather bank on that rotation and that bullpen more than I would the health and effectiveness of the Rangers. So, yeah, I would say the Mariners would be the option.
I really wanted you to say the Rangers.
I did too, but I'm already in on them. I'm already in on them at most wins to get a top two seed. So,
yeah, you don't want to keep throwing. I totally get that.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk about the Fathers and the Cubs. Cubs all of a sudden are pitching. So we always talk about their offense, and all of a sudden they get a couple shutouts there in the Lou. What do you make of this matchup? And again, for one team, certainly San Diego, they kind of got to put the gas pedal down here in the right foot.
Yeah, it's going to be a headline of pile it up. The big reason why, Dave, is we look at the Padres, who will be playing our Cincinnati Reds tonight at Great American Ballpark, 8-2 to the over. The Padres are as an away favorite, and they will be tonight with Dylan Cease on the mound, $1.43 on the money line. Nick Martinez gets to start here for the Reds, plus $1.18 on the comeback. Over is juiced to $1.23, so the over 9 is going to be a play for us. And then also those Chicago Cubs. This is an intriguing series, but I don't know if it's a potential World Series preview. But you got the Cubs and the Astros tonight. Cade Horton, their young stud, is going to be on the hill for the Chicago Cubs. Brandon Walter is going to get the start for the Houston Astros. Cubs 10-5 on the money line in non-league games. So again, this is a National League versus American League. The Cubs $1.09 in the money line right now. Let's go with that. Let's go with an intriguing little one. And by contrast, the Astros just $1.11 there as well. So I think we could get a very fun, high-scoring game of the Padres and the Reds, and then the Cubs to continue their winning ways away from Wrigley Field.
I just saw this on DraftKings because when you mentioned it could be a World Series preview, you can look into those exact markets. But what about this? What about the winning state for the World Series? So if we thought the Rangers somehow could get back in this fight a little bit, you might get a little twofer there. It would be 8-1 for the state of Texas. Now Illinois is 14-1. I'm sorry, it's the Cubs. You're not getting any help there, right? Unless I'm missing a team in my geography lesson. Would you be intrigued at 8-1 to get that double dip on H-Town in Texas?
Well, that's not a bad idea. Not a bad idea to get both those teams. So you get a little double play there in the American League. Obviously we're not banking on the Pope saving the White Sox and getting them to the promised land.
So that's an all Cubs bet there. Yeah.
Yeah. That's not happening. Oh, I like that market. We may have to take a look at that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's intriguing.
And by the way, the favorite there, as you can imagine, California to win the World Series, but you do get 2-1. Yeah. You're getting a couple teams there. What, if the Angels snuck in the wild card? Who knows? Edge Boost, first ever bank account built just for bettors. It ensures all of your gambling transactions are always approved. No usage fees, no minimums. Earn cashback rewards. 100% approval for all your betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet. Use the promo code BOOK. Deposit $25. Edge Boost will match that deposit. That's edgeboost.bet. All right, when we come back, a lot more to get to, obviously, hour number 3. Lou Finocchiaro talking UFC 317. Colby Marcio with his bets here in Major League Baseball. But, Jensen, let's come back and talk some more pigskin. And how about college football and place that Tyler Shuck comes from? The L, baby. We'll break it down some win totals in college football. That is coming up next here on VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We are back here, VSiN by the Books, Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis. And I was singing a little Metallica earlier in the program. Appreciate everybody reaching out on social media. I don't know that I'm going to get sued by Lars and the boys there at Metallica because it was such a great rendition. It could be copyright infringement. Like, Jensen, I hope we're not going to get sued.
We won't. Metallica, huge fans of our show.
Right.
It was the soundtrack to my childhood. So if there are any issues, you send them straight to me. And if I need to sing along with them, to assuage any anger, I will certainly do that.
James Hetfield, do not sue me, okay? I'm just a backup singer. That's all I am. Let's get to a little bit of these college football totals that we were referencing here earlier. And Louisville, we talked about Tyler Shuck and obviously what he might look like year number one in New Orleans. So he leaves the Ville, and I kind of look at them now, and you go through the years, and obviously you look at, you know, like Teddy Bridgewater's and Lamar Jackson, what he was able to do there. I'm not saying that that's Tyler Shuck or a quarterback U type deal, but their win total this year in college football is set at 8.5, and it is juice to the over minus $1.30. And they did have a nice year last year here in the ACC. You look at the schedule here, opens up, you know, a couple non-cons here, Eastern Kentucky. James Madison could be tricky. Bowling Green, that regional affair there in Kentucky, that could get a little bit dicey before they get into conference play. When you look at some of these teams, you almost want to say, Jensen, you better start off 3-0 before you get to conference play, especially those games being at home. If you could book those three, do you see six more wins to get to a win total of 9?
I don't. And unfortunately, even with Miller Moss coming in here to now take the snaps in place of Tyler Shuck, you have Dakari Collins, who's coming in as well to go alongside Chris Bell and Colin Lacey. Passing attack should be fine. Anxious to see kind of what Isaac Brown, Duke Watson in the backfield, what you get contribution-wise there from Louisville. But I think overall, from a schedule standpoint, again, you're asking Louisville to basically win the Virginia Tech game in Blacksburg. Always tough to do. You're asking them to, you know, be in a situation where that back half of the schedule is not must-win territory for them, if you know what I mean. The rivalry game with Kentucky, always a big one. SMU, of course, as we know, going to the college football playoff. So I can't book it right now. The only thing I would is I would take a shot at the under at plus money, 8.5 at plus $1.10. As we always like to say, easier to lose 9 than to win 9.
you know?
So I would say that presents more value to me than looking at Miller Moss and the boys running this thing to 9, maybe 10 wins.
Well, it is, you know, I'm glad you mentioned with the transfer portal and you're bringing a guy like Moss coming in here, and you start to look around the landscape of college football. It's harder in this era of college football to handicap because you don't get any continuity, right, where the quarterbacks are normally there 3-4 years, whatever it might be. You kind of get an idea of what these kids are going to look like at their respective universities. How do you take into account first-year quarterbacks? Because I will say last year it was profitable for me with Fran Brown. You bring in at Syracuse last year, and I just go, well, can I do that? Can I bank on that system every year? That if maybe they didn't work out at one place before, it's going to work out at the next. Is there a danger in that philosophy?
Well, you talk about Syracuse, right? They win their last four. Louisville, ironically, won their last three, but that only got them to 9-4. Again, so you have Tyler Shuck that was their veteran guy, able to command that offense. Not saying that Miller Moss coming over from the West Coast can't do that, but here you go again. You're asking to win games in conference, and that's why I highlight the back of that schedule. You should be able to take care of Cal, right? You've got them at home. Clemson at home would be great. But you're looking at a Cade Klubnik-led group, we believe at that point, barring injury, that has aspirations of much higher than just winning the ACC. SMU goes a perfect 8-0 in the conference last year. Can they run that back? Who knows? But still, you're having to go, you know, into Texas to be able to have to beat them. So honestly, I feel that the under presents way more value. Even if Miller Moss came in and just lights, you know, everything on fire, it's the back half of that schedule that really concerns me. And even going to Miami, again, it's still going to be a boatload of humidity and heat down there, even in middle October, to go down and try and take on the Canes. So back half of the schedule is what scares me to try and get over that 8.5.
All right, Tyler Shuck also spent some time guns up in Lubbock at Texas Tech. Their win total is sitting at 8.5. They're really excited about their dual threat quarterback this year. Baron Morton is going to take over the signal calling duties there. So you call him a little bit of a rocket man here, Jensen. Do we like enough from young Morton to say, all right, 8.5, juice slightly to the over at $1.15. And again, you start off with the non-cons, but once you get to that Oregon States and the Utahs and the Houstons, you know, you better take care of Pine Bluff, Arkansas, and Kent State and get two in the books before that schedule gets a little bit tougher.
Yeah, I think the favorable home schedule leans me more to the over 8.5 here. And yeah, very tough road trips as we look at going to Salt Lake there and to take on Utah. Of course, you got to go to Manhattan and take on Kansas State. But 9 feels attainable here. Boosted defense as well. And you mentioned, you know, the quarterback, they get a couple of critical guys in the transfer portal. Reggie Virgil comes in for that wide receiver group. Quentin Joyner in the backfield, a sophomore transfer as well. So it's really their front 7, too. And their entire defensive line, Dave, is now seniors in the transfer portal. David Bailey, Lee Hunter, Skylar Gill-Howard, Ramella Height. I mean, all those guys come in now. So a quote-unquote rebuilt front line, but a very talented one as well. And so you mentioned the schedule. It feels like if you hold serve, you do what you're supposed to do in those first 3 games. If you steal one in Utah and then have no letdown going to Houston, boy, does it set up really well, because then all of a sudden, you know, the road test at Arizona State and at Kansas State ends up being a scenario where you probably just have to split one of those. And then, you know, a huge game against BYU in November. It's all there for the taking, I think, for Texas Tech as far as the over is concerned.
You know, if you ever saw a resume like Tyler Shuck's in college 20 years ago, you go, this guy can't play, right? But he certainly could play at all the stops, including Oregon. So you look at the Ducks for the last of his 3 places there, are the first of them before he ended up there in Louisville for Tyler Shuck. And 10.5 is the win total here. And it is juiced to the under, by the way, for the Quack Attack. And I know you might want to say, well, if they're going to make the college football playoff, they're more than likely going to get to that 11-win threshold. When you look at Oregon now, is it a matter of it's the program I trust, the head coach I trust, and we'll figure everything else out?
Yeah, okay, so my gut feeling is the over, and you hit on it with Dan Lanning. I mean, Dan Lanning can recruit, he can scheme. You look at that schedule in and of itself for Oregon, very, very, very favorable early. I mean, really, Penn State is the one game, and potentially Washington, too, at the end. You know, the border battle there will always be an intriguing one. But yes, let's assume a loss at Penn State. Okay, you go on the road, Drew Aller and company, Jim Knowles of that defense, they find a way to get it done. So Dante Moore coming over from UCLA, and then you get some of the portal ads, TJ Harden in the backfield. They have to replace a fair amount of that receiving core, too. Remember Tez Johnson,
yep.
You know, up there, and they were a vaunted passing attack, at least on paper. A huge recruiting class. Some critical guys in the transfer portal. I would assume that would be the play that I'm not going to lock it in, but that would be the way I would go here. Just knowing where the schedule sets up, that's a long travel for Indiana to try and come in there and win. Wisconsin trying to come in. I mean, can Wisconsin score enough points? It's always what we look at. You go to Iowa, maybe a sleepy spot there to back the Hawkeyes at home first week of November. But they should handle Minnesota. What does USC have there at the end? And then also, as I said, the Washington game. Let's see where you are for playoff positioning there. So the lean would be the over for me on 10.5.
You know, and Dan Lanning, people forget, he comes over from Georgia. It's defense, right? And we know how much they can score and how prolific the offense can. That's what we always think about with the Quack Attack. I trust Dan Lanning knowing that even if the offense is slow to kind of keep up, the defense should always be ready to go day one. So I'm with you on that. It feels like a plus money, not a bad option to depend on a coach that I think we trust in the betting market. By the way, that betting guide we're talking about in the NFL, that is coming out on Tuesday. That, of course, is July 1st. Early access is going to mean a better shot at spotting value in the futures market like we're doing here in college football. So now is the perfect time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber with our football special. It's $175 for full VSiN Pro access through the Super Bowl. Yes, every sport that we cover every single day at a special early bird price. The sooner you sign up, the more you're going to get out of this guide and the everyday access to VSiN Pro. So first in line, it's that betting guide, your playbook for the entire season, team previews, power ratings, season-long best bets, plus daily best bet emails from our experts and hosts, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, live on-demand shows via the VSiN Watch app, full access to VSiN.com's analytics, tools, and pro systems. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe. Lock it in now. $175 VSiN.com VSiN.com/subscribe. Hour number three, the great Lou Finicaro to kick it off next here, VSiN by the Books.